WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week,
Alberta Heritage Champion,
Keishi Matsunaga.
The champ is here!
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have seen the earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat, did you know it's September, which means you get 20% off your subscriptions to twitch.tv/WTR Live. You can just hit that purple rectangular button, and the longer you subscribe, the bigger the discount you get, because it's September. But, hey, if you have that Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit code ROCKSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop, because we're a hashtag epic partner, and a brand new season of Fortnite starts next Sunday, so use the code and do the thing. Anyway, I'm the producer, Sir Rockin'. The champ is here, Keishi Matsunaga.
Yes, you're, all of you not in the city that I'm currently in, your Alberta Heritage champion. For RCW is here,
hey.
with a clean title. Well, a twice clean title and once eaten off of title.
Damn straight.
See, we got the intro done. See, it's done. Changed everything, all the things.
I don't think there was an introduction for the intern King Kittens.
We'll get to him.
Oh, I thought you said the intro was done.
No, the intro with you.
Oh,
the,
yes. With yes, you. That was great. The only thing is if you could have got that, like, more monotone.
I mean, I could have, but I wanted a little personality on it.
That was great. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Then we have the intern, King Kittens.
That's right. You put some respect on his name. Alberta Heritage Champion.
We did. We put some respect on it.
Indeed. There was lots of respect on it.
Yes, there is respect. And if you want to hear us pay respect to the champion, you can tune in last night with the WTR riffs of his match.
Yeah, it's highlighted on the channel. I don't know if it's under clips or highlights or whatever. The full thing.
Where
is
a
there.
Third of it was intros.
Well, that's what happens when you get a six person match.
Yeah.
So I have a question.
Hold on. Before you ask a question. One and only Tim Stein? No, okay.
It's well, he's muted now.
He was muted now. I figured he would unmute. He unmuted. Hey? No. Okay. So what's your question, Brent?
Okay, so in terms of... the people in the match, there was, I believe, Filipino Bo Dallas.
Is he Filipino?
I thought I heard. I thought I heard them mention he was from the Philippines.
Yes, so that is Tony Machete, aka Filipino Bo Dallas. He is the man of 1,000 bandanas, which is why everything looked like it was tied on him, like you said.
Okay, I was just curious, because, yeah, it looked like everything was tied on.
Yeah, so he had like, bandanas tied on his arms, a la Ultimate Warrior. He has bandanas tied over his knee pads, a la Tony Machete. Lots of bandanas on that guy.
hey, look, a team.
He's very talented though. He's got a lot of skill, and he works them tidy whities, as you say.
By the way, someone did find the end zone, Brent.
Probably the wrong team.
It was not your team.
Oh look, Tom Brady found Mike Evans. Yay! Oh well, it's the first game. Oh, apparently we'll be one game back of the Giants of all teams.
And the Commanders and the Eagles.
Yeah, well, it's a long season. The Eagles will have plenty of time to yak up a couple of games. Especially with that stellar wide receiver core that they have.
We have a great wide receiving core. I don't know what you're talking
about. Yeah, how many touchdowns did Hurts throw today?
Did he need to? No. There you go.
We'll see what happens when he actually has to throw the ball.
So, yeah. We're here to talk wrestling and football and then mix in between. Maybe we'll have a Tim and stuff.
Any other queries on the Rift match that you want to ask while we try and kill some time?
So there was the dude that looked like he was from Mortal Kombat or...
Yes, that was Leo Cristiani. Him and the other masked guy are luchadors. One is from Spain, one is from Mexico.
Okay, and were they trying to do the Fortnite dance in the middle of the ring?
Yeah, they were dancing. I wanted to let them dance.
Okay.
But skinny, tall, bald, Stone Cold Steve Austin had other ideas.
Oh, you mean mini Eric Rowan?
Yeah. Yes, Tyler Knox.
Good.
And then the guy who wants to blow up all of the Maple Leafs.
Yes, TJ Cannon, who went with bombs because cannonballs just look like balls. And I know this because I asked him about it. I was just like, just curious, why bombs when your name is TJ Cannon? He's like, well, if I put cannons on here, they just look like giant dicks. So I went with bombs. I'm like, you know what? That's a good idea. Good idea.
Respect for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you know, he put some thought into it. At least he's not walking around with cannon dicks on his tights.
I mean, that would just lead him to another profession. Yes. On that one. All right. Any other questions, Brent?
Can we expect any either current or, you know, if and when the time ever comes, you can have former champion Keishi Matsunaga merch.
Maybe. I haven't decided what to do, how to do that. Maybe it'll be just like a play on one of the other designs that I have of cartoon me eating a bento box, of cartoon me sadly eating a bento box because someone took my championship and now I have to eat off a regular plate.
There you go.
Or I'll just get something that said, I made it 2 weeks.
There you go.
So, beyond that, last weekend, we had other wrestling that happened. So I asked this question, because there was All Out, there was NXT, Worlds Collide, and there was Clash of the Castle. Keishi, what was your standout match between all the shows that you watched?
Oh, I am trying to... I've been racking my brain trying to think of this, because, I mean... No, I'm just gonna say it. It was Gunther versus Sheamus of the weekend's worth of just men open-handedly beating the crap out of each other. This one was the better of the two. And when I know right now, if anybody asked me, be like, "Oh, how was Clash of the Castle?" I'd be like, "Oh, is there one match that you need to watch?" And that is the one. So yeah, that would be my standout match. I mean, they like if you really break it down. They did not do a ton of stuff.
No.
Besides, you know, a lot of chops and forearm, like just throwing hands with a couple of moves in there here and there. You know, I would say combined total amount of moves would equal John Cena's 5 moves of doom total.
But the crowd didn't want 3,000 moves. They just wanted chops.
Yeah. They gave the crowd what they wanted. And even though all they did was beat the holy hell out of each other, they told the story that they needed to tell with it. So, like, I mean, I was entertained from basically the entrances to the end of the match. It was good.
All right, Brent, what was your standout match from the weekend?
He stole my match!
God, I'm sorry.
Damn it. No, it's okay. No, honestly, from that weekend, the match that everyone will talk about is
Tim's echoing.
Oh yeah, yeah. The match that everyone would talk about is Walter versus Sheamus, because I'm gonna power through here. For me, it was just the fact that it was two big guys beating the hell out of each other, but doing it in a very safe, in a very snug-looking manner, where they're going to be sore afterwards, but they're not going to be injured, if you know what I'm saying. I think my runner-up would be the match just before it on the card, which was Damage Control versus Bianca, Alexa, and Asuka, because... How's a nice way to put this? That is a good way of how to do a trios match.
Yes, it was. That was very well done, and they did. They definitely did the right thing as far as how the match ended, too.
Well, yeah, they got Bayley over. I enjoyed the fact that it was like everyone had a hand in getting Bayley that win too.
Yeah,
because you had Io hit the moonsault. You had, and then you had Bayley, you know, come in and. In a heel fashion, sneak away that victory. But, like, everyone in that match got a good chance to shine. There was enough heat on someone, you know, in between all of the different people to make you kind of invested in the match. They did a good job of keeping Bianca out of the match and telling that story, because everyone knew when Bianca gets in that match, things are going to ramp up and Damage Control is going to be in trouble. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that match was definitely, like, a good way to, like, that trios match told a story. It furthered a story, whereas the other trios match that we saw was more... I mean, when you break it down, obviously there wasn't much of a story there except for it's two teams going after a title, and there was a little bit of a story in there, but of the two, this, like... The Clash at the Castle, Damage Control versus Bianca, Asuka, and Alexa Bliss, they had more of a fleshed out long-term story that furthered a story along that will, you know, pay dividends later.
In case you don't forget, there was also three other trios matches that weekend as well with another company.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess if you include all of them together.
There were a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, when you compare like that women's trio match to, for example, FTR Wardlow versus Jay Lethal and the Machine Guns.
Yeah, that one.
Very,
I mean,
different examples of what a trios match could and should be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I enjoyed their match too, but I mean, that has more to do with, you know, a lot of the players in the match versus kind of how the match, like how the, you know, the build up and the story behind that match.
You enjoyed it despite the story they were trying to tell and let up with.
Yeah, sure, if you want to put it that way.
Because, boy, was it a story to get there. But they got there. Favorite moment of the weekend, right?
Favorite moment for me, even though it got completely overshadowed, was the return of MJF.
Okay.
Looking back, and I don't mean... the first appearance at the casino ladder match, because that was a giant WTF. The entire end of that match was just, what the hell happened? But when he came out at the very end, and you had, excuse me, you had the voicemail, which we all knew, and okay, could have, I mean, was it a little overproduced? Sure. But like that, I think when he did the, like, back to the camera bit, that may have played better on broadcast than necessarily in arena. But for me, it was, you know, paying off. Okay, you've kept your hottest act on the bench for 3 months. He finally comes back, and holy shit, the pop he got when he walked out in Chicago with their hometown boy just winning the title. I'll give them credit. Playing for that moment was good. Unfortunately, what happened in the hour after completely killed it.
Which we'll get to in a minute. What about you, Cash?
I mean, you have to, I agree with Brent. Like, I mean, and the whole thing too, that the way that that ladder match ended and how abruptly it ended was weird.
Killed the crowd.
Yeah. I mean, they could have probably gotten away with it if they'd done it a little bit different and let the Joker come out first, stand at the top of the walkway, have all those guys rush and beat everybody down, and then have the Joker, quote unquote, MJF, climb the ladder and get it himself versus having Stokely Hathaway climb up and grab it for him. I think that's what that's probably what killed the crowd ultimately, because for, you know, anybody who kind of noticed the way that I did based on how the person was walking when they were unrevealed at the time, it probably would have gotten a pop from the crowd from at least some people who knew who he was, mm-hmm. as he, you know, waited for the dust to settle of all of his like flunkies clearing the ring, strolling down there all casual and stuck up like he would, slowly climbing the ladder. And you know that there would probably be like, if he was going to do it, there would probably be one of those things where he would just take his time. Like he put in a big fight and he's having a big struggle climbing that ladder and then got that chip and acted like he did it all by himself and then walked away. That probably would have been a better way to handle it. But the reveal, the way that they did the reveal was good, at least as far as, you know, showing the mask and throwing up the little blurb of like CM Punk saying what he said way back in the day, which is nice because it ties into the whole Punk storyline and everything. So that's kind of good too.
Well, what have tied into the storyline?
Well, I'm pretending that other part doesn't exist yet.
Okay.
We'll get to it. At the time.
They were telling
when they put that when they put that video up of CM Punk saying the smartest thing the devil did was making you forget that he existed, and then having, you know, MJF do that reveal was good. Mm-hmm. Had, you know, what happened after with the what I believe was very prepared didn't happen, that would have been great. I thought they did a half decent job of getting him back on Wednesday though.
Yeah.
Getting things back on track as far as that storyline is concerned.
They attempted to. And I don't know. I enjoyed more of MGF playing fake babyface than reverting right back to heel. I would have enjoyed more fake babyface.
Yeah, that was funny.
Just go around each home, to each town, and do fake babyface for a couple weeks. That would have been funny. But they went right back to the shtick they were doing before, which is fine. I just felt bad for the people in the ladder match, putting their, doing all the flips and dives with all the ladders, and it eventually meant nothing.
Yeah, that wasn't great, but what do you do?
You just do what you're told.
Yeah.
So that's the favorite moments. And then CM Punk happened. He decided to vent frustrations at a press conference. Used a reporter to basically get his point across about Colt Cabana, the Bucks, Kenny Omega, how things are run, with his boss sitting right next to him. He told if anyone has a problem with it, come find them.
And they did.
So they did. Which resulted in a backstage fiasco that included sucker punches, apparently, chairs being thrown, hair pulling and biting.
Dogs being saved.
Yes, dogs. A possible rescue of a small dog.
Heroically being saved by Kenny Omega. Just good guy, Kenny Omega. I'm just getting the dog out of the way. He was being frantic. That's my favorite part of the story. Good guy, Kenny Omega. Yeah, so that led to things happening on Dynamite where belts were vacated. We believe people have been suspended.
For how long? We don't know.
We don't know. Because they never officially announced it. They used Meltzer and Sports Illustrated as the people to say, hey, they've been suspended, but we're not going to actually officially suspend them because we're not acknowledging the situation.
Well, and part of that, if you believe the internet, is possibly because of legal ramifications after what happened, which, I mean, if they're legally not allowed to say things, then, I mean, you can only do so much with that, right?
But you could legally say this to so-and-so has been suspended until further investigation.
That's true. Like, that's true.
They could say, hey, CM Punk and the Elite have been suspended pending an investigation.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. You don't have to give me the details.
Without discussing any of the...
What happened. You just say...
Yeah.
Because if you're a viewer of the program who's not on Twitter, you're wondering, why are my champions gone? Like, that was the biggest issue I had with it. It was like, just acknowledge it a tiny bit. Because you're going to have a part of the audience who does not know. We will know. But there's a section of the audience, a minor section, would be confused. So I asked this question. How do you think they handled it, Casey?
I mean, like I said, you know, from a legal standpoint is probably why they tried to for part of the reason why they tried to omit it. I think they could have done a better job by, like you say, mentioning, you know, who was suspended and maybe not necessarily talking about why, or at least, you know, glossing over it in a legally responsible way, I guess is how you put it, in a way that wouldn't get them in trouble from a legal perspective. I think that's what they were trying to do. They just didn't, they got like 75% of the way there. It's unfortunate that the 25% is the most important part that they missed. So, I mean, you know, I would give them like a C plus, maybe a B minus. They tried. It's just, you know, we know that they could have done better. They didn't give us their best work.
Do you agree, Brent?
For me, this is a two-part grade. If I'm going on the night of, they get an F. They completely mismanaged everything the night of.
Oh, yeah.
From Tony Khan sitting there letting CM Punk run his mouth for what was about 20, 25 minutes and putting everyone on blast, including three of your executives. And all Tony could do is sit there and, you know, like, wiggle his eyebrows and, you know, kind of be like, huh, okay. And then himself go on a crazy rant at the very end of the presser. Also, he had other people, you know, making comments they probably shouldn't have at that same presser. So the night of, they completely botched everything. On Wednesday, I think about a C is a fair grade. The fact they didn't mention anything leaves a lot of people puzzled, because it's like, oh, okay, you're, and I know that, as was mentioned, they may not be able to bring up certain specifics because of legal ramifications, and that's because your chief legal officer walked in on said fight. So there's no way to ignore that.
That's correct. Yeah.
Like, if you're gonna have someone witness something like that and be able to, like, get the, like, exact story as to what happened, they are the best person to have there. So the nice thing about that is, at least from the standpoint of the rest of the world, we're probably going to find out what happened exactly as it happened, because someone at some point will probably, if there's, you know, if there's a way to get those documents, someone's going to get their hands on them, and we're going to know exactly what happened.
I think creation of the one tournament works fine, because as was talked about on other shows, you couldn't do an interim title again. You just got out of that mess.
No, you couldn't go back to that.
You couldn't go back.
Because you already have one going.
Well, not just that. He was already going to be out an extended period because he pulled a Cody and tore his pec or tricep or whatever.
Him and Christian were triceps.
Okay.
He has an upper body injury.
Upper body injury, yep. Hockey
he
talk.
He went to a local medical facility. But he's going to be out like 8 months if he comes back, and for that you couldn't have the title just lingering again. You had to do something with it. So I think a tournament of champions works well, because with a lot of your people, sure, you could pull in the fact that they were former TNT champions, even though you don't really do anything with that title anymore. You have former world champions. The one thing I don't understand is, so you gave Moxley and Jericho buys for the first round, correct?
Yes.
What was the reasoning behind those two getting the buys?
I did not catch a reasoning.
I don't think they ever said it. It was just, oh yeah, Jericho and Moxley get buys. And if it's because they're former world champions, if I was Adam Page, I would be extremely fucking pissed. Because it basically is like, oh yeah, you were a champion, but guess what? You still have to prove yourself again. Those guys, they get to, you know, schluff off for a week.
Is it because they were the longest reigning champions?
It would have been great if that was the reason.
We had to figure that out for ourselves.
Yeah, we got to make up our own story on that one.
And it's like, okay, we're getting some good matches out of the tournament. Why? Because we've got Brian versus Paige, which was, you know, the hour-long match before. And, you know, they fought each other. This was the match good? Sure. We got Sammy versus Darby, what, 40?
Something like that.
No, I know it's only 4. But it's like, okay, you know those two are going to go out there. and give a good match. I don't know if a lot of people want to see Sammy in that position right now, but that's neither here nor there. But at least you're getting something, you're getting some quality TV out of that now. And you're giving people like, you know, Moxley and Jericho and a couple of others a little bit of direction when after All Out, you were kind of going, where do they go from here?
Apparently neither was going to be on TV for a little bit.
Yeah, Moxley was
they were going on vacation.
Jericho at one point was supposed to go on tour.
Until he got hurt.
Until he hurt his vocal cords or whatever.
But the other thing that was weird, and we touched on it on Not So Live, it was just us having a conversation, was, okay, so you have a tournament to establish your world champion. For your trios, you're like, screw it, these two trios are fighting anyway. Let's make this one for the belt.
And that was fine. It was the easiest way to get it done. Because you can't go back and do another tournament when you just did a tournament. So it's like, you have to finalize it then and there.
Yeah, they gave the tournament to the right title.
And it also, I mean, generally speaking, you kind of look and you're like, okay, there's more trios that are sitting out there. So there's more of like a direction that you could have had if the trios belts were vacated. Whereas I think if the world championship gets blown up the way it did, it's kind of like, we have to rewrite a lot.
Yeah. Well,
because
this involves
a lot of different people that could be in that picture.
And if you go back and look at some of the trios that were there, like House of Black may or may not even have been available. If you listen to the internet, the Dark Order, I mean, Paige was in the world title picture. So that takes him out of working with Reynolds and Silver, of which case I think Reynolds got hurt too.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you kind of go through the line of like a lot of the other trios teams that were in the tournament, most of them weren't physically available. So, I mean, going with the two that they had who were fighting anyway, it's kind of like, well, it's either these two or one of these teams and possibly one of the other trios that might be left.
Because they also broke up the Andrade team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Dragon Lee got laid out by his brother. But no, I've got it. And this plays into, if you want to punish certain people for their actions, you know what you do? Bring back United Empire. And you have them win the trios title.
That would be hilarious.
Because Kenny would be sitting at home going, what the hell?
But that might have not been something that they could have done that quickly.
I know.
So that could be something. Let's just put that in the back pocket of something that might happen later.
That just would have been really funny. It's like Tony going, you want to act up, Kenny? I got you. Don't worry.
Yep. That would have been great.
So now what do you do? Punk's out for eight, nine months. The Elite are out for an undetermined amount of time. What do we do? What do you do with them?
Don't want to sound like over-exaggeration. I would look at Phil and I would say, thank you so much. We wish you well in your future endeavors. Because apparently, he does not have a lot of fans in the back.
I mean, it sounds like he's pretty notorious for burning bridges.
And napalming the river while he's at it.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's just... And the thing is, a lot of this wouldn't have started if it weren't for the fact that as much as he claims that Hangman went into business for himself, he went into business for himself repeatedly leading up to this.
Well, and even if you go back and listen to that Hangman Adam Page promo, he didn't say anything specifically. Like, unless Adam Page straight up said, yeah, I was talking about the situation with you and Colt Cabana, that could very easily be him reading into something that might not even be there. That could be the internet reading into something that might not be there.
I think part of it was also the quip about wrestlers' rights. Because, you know, Punk has been a staunch advocate for, you know, taking time off and trying to form a union and that kind of stuff. And then Paige called his ass out for it.
And I mean, that's fine. Because... That's at least something, but like nothing about that promo from what I read into it had any, as far as I knew, felt like really had anything specifically to do with Colt Cabana. Could it have been? Yes, but there's nothing in there that's been like, you screwed over Colt Cabana. Then it's like, okay, he's got a leg to stand on. But then alternatively, you go, okay, so instead of addressing that, because how close to their match did that happen? Was it like the week of that he pulled that promo?
It was either the week of or 2 weeks out.
So then if you have a problem with that promo and you're standing right there while he says it to you, why wait till you come back from a broken foot and then call him out on it right away? Why couldn't you have called him on it the next week? Why couldn't you have called him on it, you know, after you broke your foot and got out of the crowd and was standing there? It's weird that he sat on it for as long as he did. Mm-hmm. And then to bring it up again, what, 2-3 months later, after he called him out the first time?
I want to say it was like 3 weeks later, wasn't it? Because
in any case, like call him out on public television, that's fine. Then go to the back and deal with it.
I think there were other interviews on the interwebs that may have contributed to some other comments that he was reading into with his, you know, statements. So you could tell how much he pays attention to people talking about him. And I think Paige said something somewhere that may have caused something in his head to go off about it.
I suppose. I mean, I don't pay like 100% attention to the internet, so I don't know.
Yeah, I've seen some things. I never listened to whatever it was, but people are suggesting that.
It just seems like he was holding on to some stuff that he could have very easily, you know, squashed.
Yeah,
in a public forum.
You go back,
not with what seemingly was something that he had prepared and ready to say. Because from what I could tell, I don't think anybody really said anything before he started going off on that guy.
No.
Oh, no. He absolutely walked in there with the agenda of, I'm going to burn this place.
Yes. Which is weird because, you know, not too long ago, he was talking about, you know, whether you have a good opinion or a bad opinion about someone, you should stand with them anyway. Well, so.
And the funny thing is, and I mean, I've seen this around the internet, but that interview juxtaposed with like his opening promo when he came back and like, I can't wait to work with these young kids and I can't wait to do this. And it's just amazing that in 1 year it went from, you know, with him sunshine and rainbows to grumpy old man yells at cloud.
Yeah.
It's interesting how things have sort of gone. All right. So I haven't heard this. Haven't listened to it. But this seems to be part of the issue that kind of spurred things. This would work.
Compared to like the Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart promos, where it was like some people were saying maybe there's a little bit more truth, a little reality floating into what's going on here with these two guys. I mean, do you genuinely feel a little bit of distance between Punk and some parts of the locker room? Is that something that you feel earnest about?
Probably not something I want to say a lot about. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I was specific as I intended to be, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, fair enough.
So to tie it all together, that was done on Wrestling Inc. That was done by Nick Houseman, who was the reporter Punk went off on.
Oh, then yeah, 100% prepared going in.
There's your
which
whole
is tie-in. Which is super unfortunate.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
But it's super unfortunate that it got to that. And I'm not, I definitely want to put it out here too, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm picking sides, because I'm not, because I wasn't there. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't the legal representative of the Jaguars in AEW. I did not see the whole thing go down. Nobody here is 100% right. Oh, whether no. It be CM Punk and Ace Steel and Larry the Dog or the Elite.
Okay.
No one is right. No one is wrong. Each party probably did something stupid. Each party is wrong in some point. And if these people, if any of them go in there not thinking that they contributed to something on a negative side as to why that escalated the way it did, then they're both idiots. Because usually in any sort of confrontation, no matter what, no one is 100% right. No one is 100% wrong. And the biggest reason that things blow out of proportion like that is because people have egos and they're not willing to admit that maybe they're not 100% in the right with the stance that they're taking in things. Yes, Larry probably is the only one who was 100% right. Thank you, Lindsay.
I was going to say, don't put Larry into this. Larry was just an innocent bystander.
He probably just wanted belly rubs.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out.
Now, Casey, interesting question. Are the Elite still vice presidents when they come back?
I don't know if should they be. I guess, well, it'll depend on how the investigation pans out. If they kick down the door, no, because that's not how people in charge of a company should be carrying themselves. If things lean more towards the elite side of the story where, you know, Punk said, come talk to me, and they went and talked to him and knocked on the door, and then all of a sudden things started flying off the handle, then maybe, because that could just be construed of, well, he said, if we have a problem, come talk to them. As EVPs, we should go deal with this. That's fine. If everything that they said is true, how it was laid out, and they went to calmly talk to him, and as soon as they opened the door, things escalated, then that's not necessarily 100% on them. But my guess is it's a little column A, a little column B, and they should at the very least, something should happen if they were wrong. I don't know if it's necessarily take away their EVP statuses or whatever, maybe take away some of their powers to make decisions or something.
Which they might not even have at this point, who knows?
I was gonna say, for me personally, I think this is a means to an end for Tony, in a sense, in that he can get that title, he can get those titles off of them, because it feels like it was going that way in general.
If you listen to him in that same press conference, or no, it was the conference call, maybe, he's like, they work on the, Kenny does work on the, works on the video game, and the Bucks, they help, and they do things, and stuff. Wasn't really like, here's exactly what they're in charge of. Like, Kenny had a kind of a role, the Bucks kind of sort of had a role, but they're not like, hey, we're big influencers in this company. We're not like, they're not making everyday decisions to grow the company.
Well, and yeah. I think when the company first started, when they were the public faces, it's one thing. But as we've seen over the past 3 years, that entire spotlight has shifted away from Cody at first, and then Kenny and the Bucks, and it's shown firmly on Tony as he has gotten more and more involved with everything, as he's taken over booking, as he's, you know, they do stories about AEW, it's always Tony in the front.
Yeah, I mean, if you're gonna maybe take away their abilities to, like, and I don't know what they, as far as, you know, what they have control over in their roles, but maybe from, like, the wrestling standpoint stuff, maybe, you know, if there's stuff that they do on an everyday basis as far as, like, things for the company, which they probably are needed, because you can't just be like, all right, we're going to take away all of your power with everything that you're doing for this company, and then all of a sudden it all gets lopped onto Tony, which is not super great. So if there's, like, day-to-day running the company things, as far as, I don't know, from a ownership standpoint or business standpoint, maybe leave that there. But for the actual wrestling shows and dealing with locker room things and all that, maybe take that away, because obviously that's where the problem would come from. But it's hard to be like, hey, we're going to take away all your power, because then that sits on Tony. If they're going to take this time while they're suspended to maybe, like, hire some people to take over their duties 100%, that's fine. But it's just a matter of what they're going to do with everything.
Which we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, only time will tell.
Only time will indeed tell. Brent, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who's the backup quarter back for the Dallas Cowboys? What's his name?
His name is Cooper Rush, and I already know. Thank you very much. Dak Prescott is out with an apparent hand/thumb injury.
Oh, he has an upper body injury.
Yeah, he might be out, you know, as long as CM Punk, we don't know.
Is it on his throwing hand, or is it on his
right hand.
So yes, throwing hand.
It's the hand in which he holds the ball.
Not the hand that he, like, points out linebackers to the O-linemen to block while he tries to make a throw?
No.
Nah, that's too bad.
So there you go, that one.
Oh, good, and we're facing the Bengals next week. To be fair, if you all watched the Bengals offensive line, they have not improved from last year, which could be good for our defense.
So before we go tonight, there was a newest Bloodline addition. Solo Sikoa has joined the Bloodline officially.
Yeah, he'll make it onto the shirt before Sammy.
Yeah, totally. I like how Brent's changing the format repeatedly, by the way.
WWE acknowledged Sami Zayn as part of the Bloodline.
And?
Do I need to get the tweet to prove it? It's from the company itself.
What did you think of Solo joining the Bloodline, Casey?
I mean, I think it makes sense. He's literally part of the Bloodline, both, you know, from a storyline standpoint, and he's legitimately an NOA. So, as soon as people found out that he got signed with the company, I'm sure everybody just figured it was a matter of time before he got brought up.
As soon as they found out there was another Uso somewhere, they were like, oh shit, let's get him here.
Yeah.
Can he travel?
I mean, he could probably travel a little bit more than Jimmy and Jay.
He made it to the UK, so there's something.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So if he can make it to the UK, I think he'll be fine traveling. I guess, you know, we'll find out in a couple weeks here when WWE comes back up to Canada for a little bit of a leg, mm-hmm. whether or not they make it up here. So
just don't carpool with his brothers. That's all. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Maybe they'll stick to that storyline, and you know, Solo just be like, "Hey, Sam, you got room in your car?" And Sam will be like, "Hey, whatever you need, I got you." And Solo and Sammy can ride together.
Sammy's playing that so well.
Sammy is like the MVP of that whole thing. He's doing like chef's kiss. Big kudos to Sammy. Like, I mean, everybody kind of like, but as far as like the Sammy situation is concerned, I'm enjoying the crap out of it. I'm enjoying, you know, Solo being like, yeah, you were, you know, after Sammy took that chair shot and pushed him out of the way, he's like, hey, I appreciate that. You're legit. If I need you, I'm going to ask. And then you've got, he's the one being standoffish. Jay's being standoffish, right? Yeah. But Jimmy's just like all 100% in there too, right? So I think the whole dynamic of like the rest of the Bloodline and how they're dealing with Sammy is fantastic.
Well, and the interesting thing is if you remember, it all started with Jay. He was the first one to join, begrudgingly. Yeah. But the first one to actually join up. And then his brother came along and it was just like, bro, you going to fall in line? And all of a sudden, like, everyone else is coming. And I feel like Jay is like, y'all didn't have to pay your fucking dues.
Yeah.
You didn't get choked out by Roman. What the hell?
I'm the only one who should be throwing up the one because I was here first. And that's probably what they're building to.
I can't wait for Kevin and Sammy to take the belts off of them.
Yeah.
That's where it's going at some point.
Whether it's like, whether Sammy is just like, you know, running a long con against them, or they like unceremoniously throw him out and Kevin comes in for the save. Either way, I'm like 100% satisfied with everything that they've done with Sammy and the Bloodline thus far.
And you got months, you can still drag this out a little bit longer where you don't have to go to the Kevin and Sammy thing in like 2 weeks. You count another 2 months out of this before you really are sort of dragging it out.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, hang on. I have to see something.
Because they have a lot of material with Sammy going on right now. And he's just, I like how he jumps in there, you know, when they're doing the whole the throw up the ones. And he's like, you know, he gets it right at the end. It's like he has great timing in everything he does.
It's fantastic.
You remember when people were saying he was being misused and like he wanted out and all of that?
Yeah.
I wonder what they're thinking now.
Yeah, like, what was that, kind of just before WrestleMania?
I think it was even before that. Because it was around the time that Kevin's contract was coming up.
Oh, see, I kind of thought, like, the big internet uproar was kind of around, like, maybe, like, Royal Rumble time when...
Yeah, it was like around
It was very Rumble. Clear that Sammy was going to be doing some stuff with Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, it was like he had just re-signed right before then. In the beginning, mm-hmm. end of last year, or whatever it was. And, like, yeah, everyone was like, oh, why did he go to AEW? Because he was smart.
Well,
He was smart, and he knows where his, like, could he go have gone elsewhere and had fantastic 10-star matches? Yeah. But this is more entertaining, and he's getting more exposure out of it, because he calls the Johnny Knoxville match a highlight of his career, because it is.
And, I mean, aside from getting, like, you know, destroyed by a giant hand, I feel like he's probably doing a lot less physical work with his position right now, which in the long run for someone who's been doing professional wrestling as long as Sammy has is probably good for him.
You listen to Sammy on the Austin podcast on the network. He praises that match up down and just,
well, he understands the whole story of it, and he understands, yeah, it's like, you know, was there a lot of stupid shit in that match? Sure. But it served a purpose. Like, him getting body slammed by Wee Man popped everybody.
Yep.
The crowd, the announcers, the boys. Everyone loved that moment, and he realized it. And, yeah, it's just, Casey, like you said, I mean, if you watch the matches he did in ROH and realize the punishment he put his body through, you know, getting, package pile driven through a ladder, like, he's looking going, wait, I only have to take a chair shot tonight on my back?
Yeah,
pay me.
He's like, he's definitely paid his, like, you know, super crazy indie putting his body through all kinds of, like, ridiculousness. He did that for years, and the fact that, you know, now he's in a big company that's probably, you know, it's weird that he took all those risks when, you know, there's no, he probably was not making a ton of money and paying for a lot of the stuff that a dude would have to do to take care of himself. Doing what he was doing on the indies was probably tough. Now he's doing stuff that's probably not as taxing on his body, and he can kind of afford to take care of himself.
And he can afford to put money towards his charitable stuff and get that exposure too.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, like, that probably, you know, that probably factored into why he stayed there as well.
Well, and it's the whole thing, like, with Kevin, you know, on a somewhat side note, he was smart because, look, he re-signed. He knew what his worth was with WWE. He signed for the money for his family. And now, look, Triple H is in charge. He's getting to go back to essentially NXT KO, an ass kicker, and he looks to be in a pretty damn good spot.
Yep. But I mean, like, I understand why some people, you know, go to the other company, and I understand why some people stay. Like, it's just, I don't know. People should just be happy with the fact that regardless where they are, your favorite wrestlers are getting TV time.
Yeah, they're getting attention.
Speaking of TV. Karrion Kross makes your TV go black and white?
Yeah. Apparently when Karrion Kross locks in the cross jacket on Drew McIntyre, they go to the Shadow Realm in Thor Love and Thunder.
I mean, it happened with Drew Gulak too, right?
Did it?
So
yeah.
Is Karrion Kross going to be the new Undertaker now?
Apparently when he locks in his, you know, straight jacket or whatever he calls it, you know, all color leaves the world.
I mean, it's something.
He goes back from over the rainbow back into Kansas.
I mean, I get it because, you know, they have the black and white stuff for his entrance, and nobody in the arena is going to see everything go black and white. And it's obviously done from a television point of view, and it ties into his entrance, and it makes sense. But at this, like, I don't know. It just, when I saw it, I was like, heh? That's all.
But it's the one thing I will say is it is something different. It's something that makes you take notice.
Oh, 100%. And like I say, it ties into his entrance. It ties into what he was doing, what he's been doing currently as a character, what he was doing in NXT, and he's not dressed up like a Spartan. So I'm not saying it's garbage. It was very surprising when it happened.
Yeah.
It's not like whenever Karrion Kross is in the ring, the screen goes completely black and white the whole time. No, it's only when he locks that thing in. And I'm sure with, you know, who's in charge there now, they won't hopefully overdo it.
You know, when you lock it, when you lock that in, all color fades from the world.
That's
and your face.
I've been choked out before. Things get a little fuzzy. I could see it.
I mean, it could be worse. They could give him the Sin Cara treatment.
Yes.
With the trampoline. Watch Karrion have to jump over the top rope with that thing.
I mean, that would be kind of cool if he could pull it off, though. Big man like that doing the big Sin Cara jump over the rope entrance.
Could happen. But I think that's it for us tonight. We tried to have Tim. Tim just couldn't make it work. He's having microphone issues. It happens. Anyway, that'll do it for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. The Rack is live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. News, notes, and discussion of some sort. Probably, maybe Fortnite. I don't know, because there's a new season. You can use credit code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Pass tag at my partners. Do the thing. New battle pass. Buy it. Use the code. So there's that. Speaking of the Rack, you can check out the Rack X reviews, Madden NFL 23, and there's only one problem. Both available right now. Available later this week will be the Rack X reviews, NBA 2K23. So that'll be available later in the week. Saturday night, midnight-ish, another edition of CB Radio. Before that will be Fortnite with Friends. You can see CBRadio.com. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's WTR Sunday Night on both Facebook and Twitter. Tim is at Flames Forum, so you can tweet him and he'll respond in some Tim way to you. Casey's on Twitter. Where?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. Tune in next week to see if I'm still a champion.
So there's that. You can check out the riff we did of his match. It's on the highlights of the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Go buy the champ's merch on his Redbubble. Link in his description on Twitter and Instagram. Brent's on Twitter.
Yep.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens. You can also find my fantasy partner, the WTR Wheel, on Twitter as well. Hasn't been quite as active on Twitter, but maybe that will change. Who knows?
We were promised active tweets.
I will talk with the wheel. I will spin responses and I will get back to you.
You're going to have some responses for the wheel. Okay. Anyway, that'll do it for WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you all week long for all the programming that we do. And right back here next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
WildTalkRadio.com.